Welcome to our sermon series, Faith Over Fear. Today we dive into the scriptures to see how we can be empowered to live by faith.
It's a joy. My wife and I and the family were taking some time of leave, and in the middle I had a little bit of work and got extremely refreshed and ready to go for the next part of the year with faith over fear. You know? And I hope you're still carrying on that theme in your life. Life can happen to us, and some points we get disoriented and discouraged, and we feel like, man, am I going to finish all of this? But I want to encourage you, keep the faith. Keep going. God is still in charge. I love the song that the worship team led about be still and know his God, and he will show you his deliverance, his salvation. And it reminds me of a portion in the scriptures where Moses was leading the children of Israel out of a place where they had been in suffering and in slavery onto the promised land. And so they hit a very difficult spot in their journey. They had seen God do some stuff in Egypt, and as they were going, excited that they were getting into freedom, they face something difficult. In front of them is the Red Sea, difficult blockage. How are we going to cross? Man, we've been slaves. They've been slaves for 400 years, generations of slavery. All those people knew was slavery, and now they're walking into freedom, and there they are. Something comes in front of them that they cannot go beyond, and then behind them, the very things that they had overcome were following them. And sometimes the year feels like that. I thought I defeated this thing, but it is now coming after me. But not only is it coming after me, I have a challenge in front of me. And Moses, in fact, said to God, God, weren't there enough graves in Egypt for you to bring us to die right here? And God reassured Moses, no, don't you worry. Be still. This stuff that you think is coming after you, I'm going to deal with it. You know? And then this stuff that seems to be impossible in front of you, I'm going to deal with it in a very powerful way. You're going to walk on dry ground where it should have been wet. That's like amazing. And so be still and know that he is God. Have faith over fear. Come on. I love that. By the way, today is a big day in many churches that are passionate about the kingdom of God. And that story of Moses was called by God to respond to a cry that had come from the children of Israel who were facing injustice in their lives. They were being forced to do stuff. And in fact, at that time, the Pharaoh had made everything worse for them. And it was so bad. And the cry of the injustice that the children of Israel were facing reached the ears of God. And God called Moses and said, I want you to go and let my people free. Let them go out of the hands of this slave master. And today is a Freedom Sunday. It's a Justice Sunday that we celebrate with a great organization that is so passionate about the issue of justice, just like we are. In fact, one of our core values as Watoto is justice. And that organization is IJM, International Justice Mission. And some of their people are here, the team from Uganda is here. Would you stand? We just want to welcome you to Watoto today. And thank you so much. You may be seated. IJM is passionate about bringing justice, especially for those who are not able, who are vulnerable and have lost stuff because no one could speak up for them. And just like God called Moses to go and speak and address the injustice that the children of Israel were facing, God has called IJM to be that voice. And so IJM has rallied churches around the world. We are joining churches around the world, and this Sunday is particularly tagged as Freedom Sunday. And it's about helping women and children that are suffering the violence of slavery to be set free and to bring the awareness. And if you think about it, we may not see it every day, but it is happening in our neighborhoods. Children, child labor, And kids are being used for all kinds of stuff. You think of women who sometimes it appears like they're going for work in greener pastures, but they get there and they're enslaved into all kinds of sex trade and the trafficking that's happening. And today, we are saying, God, if you are looking for a church that can respond like you called Moses, here we are as Watoto. We are going to bring justice to those that are facing injustice. And so that's what it is about today. And by the way, you might be here and you know somebody. You know maybe a neighbor. Someone who's experiencing a form of injustice. They are losing their property. They've been kicked out of a house that belonged to them. And you just do not know what to do. IJM is there to give wisdom. And after the service, you can go and meet with them on the way to Buganda Road through the foyer area and chat to them. They'll give you some wisdom. Or maybe you are struggling with an area of injustice yourself. You can chat to them and say, hey, we need some help. God is passionate about justice. He is. And we, his people, need to be passionate about justice. And so, IJM team, thank you so much for helping us to be a part of this rallying cry for the justice and bringing freedom to slavery and an end to the slavery of children and vulnerable women. Martin Luther King Jr. said this, injustice anywhere will affect justice everywhere. I'll say it again. Injustice anywhere will affect justice everywhere. If we ignore the matter of injustice, it will one day catch up with us and affect us. That's why it's important to be voices of justice wherever we are. In fact, let's pray. Let's take a moment and pray right now. Lord, I want to thank you so much for this whole matter of justice. In fact, justice is so close to your heart. And God, you are looking for people, men and women and churches and organizations that can champion justice on this earth that is full of injustice. And here we are, Lord, we cry out. Help us to be people of justice. Help us to fight for the cause of the vulnerable, the poor, the unfortunate, the children and women that are experiencing all forms of slavery. Lord, help us to be like Moses, who will go and face injustice and say, with God on our side, we are going to see injustice come to an end. I thank you for IJM and the work that they do. Continue to bless them. I thank you for the churches that are engaged in the cause of justice. And I thank you for the individuals who are part of this church. In fact, every one of us who can become a voice of justice. Use us, God, to establish the justice of heaven here on earth as it is, in heaven. And now, Lord, even as we turn to your word, we ask you to bless your word. Bless everyone that hears your word today, and may your word transform our lives forever. So I commit the next few moments into your hands. Take charge, God. Speak to us. We're ready and we're listening in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen, amen. So I'm really excited to launch this season that we are in, an exciting season for us as Watoto Church, a season of generosity. It's the season when we get ready for our miracle missions offering. Come on! It's a highlight season. It's a time when we say we are going to go over and above and we are going to give generously so we can expand the kingdom of God. And I mean, it's amazing. It's amazing. And if you're new to Watoto Church, you are going to experience something phenomenal. Anybody new? If you're here and you've never experienced our Miracle Missions offering, let me see you raise your hand wherever you are. Wonderful. You raised with fear, but don't worry. It's going to be awesome here. We have fun giving big so that we can glorify God big and expand His kingdom big. That's what it's about. We go over and above. And God spoke to Gary and Marilyn some years ago, about 7 years ago or so, and He said, ask the people of Watoro Church to give an offering that was so big, so way out of our capacity, at a time when we were, the world was going through a recovery from the economic meltdown. And that's when God says, challenge the people of Watoto to give an offering. And then we came to the church and we let the church know what the amount was. It was $1 million. And the church went like, but with faith over fear, we honored God and said, we are going to give extravagantly. I tell you, we brought baskets here. People danced while they were giving their best to see the kingdom of God expanded. Not only did we give $1 million that year, we actually exceeded the goal. We gave $1.2 million to expand the kingdom of God. And it was all about God's kingdom. And from that time on, God has been challenging us to always set aside one weekend of the year where we give big to expand the kingdom of God. And that's what the Miracle Missions offering is about. And so we're getting ready in October, prepare, begin to pray and ask God, how do you want me to be involved? Last year, we gave together, we hit over 90% of our target. We together gave $911,000 to expand the kingdom of God. And that was about 3.4 billion shillings. And we thank God for the people of Watoto and the generosity. And the purpose is to always continue to promote this kingdom of God. And some of the things we've done with that miracle offering of last year, and you'll get to hear more of the stories and even see some of it, is we've given to an organization called Association of Related Churches, ARC, in Canada, that are helping plant churches in Canada. Unfortunately, churches are beginning to die in Canada, but when it's getting dark, that's when we need to shine the light, the brightest. So we gave to them, they are going to plant a church with the miracle offering coming from Watoto Church. And so your generosity is going to plant a life-giving church in Canada. Amazing. You don't need to go to Canada. You've already planted a church there. And so then we also gave towards a big crisis that was happening in the Middle East with the Syrian issue and ISIS and some of the people being taken out of their land. And as things get better, they are beginning to come back, but their houses had been bombed and destroyed. As Watoto Church, we've renovated 10 houses for Syrian refugee returnees. We're reaching out. Our generosity is beginning to touch some of the things globally. We always give to Israel because we want to see Israelis reached and Jewish people reached with the gospel. We also supported a church plant in Nairobi called C3, a young couple that's there from Australia that has started a church, and they just want to be part of reaching the next generation of Kenyans. And so like Watoto Church started many years ago and people blessed Watoto Church, we want to bless churches that are starting. And so we also have given to them. And locally, we have blessed the Scripture Union Uganda that is reaching young people in schools. Come on, come on. And some of us have been blessed by Scripture Union, and they're in schools doing the best that they can. So we say, we believe in your mission, and we've blessed them. And also the Family Life Network here that is passionate about redeeming family and bringing family back to God's ways of doing family, so they can carry on this ministry. There's one thing, there may be others that are forgotten that we've done, but you'll get to know. But there's one thing that I'd like you to pray with us that we haven't yet done, and it's from our miracle offering 2018. And that is finding a new location for our 14th celebration point. We've been searching and we've seen some places, but please do pray with us. We want to be on spot with where God wants us to be, and so that we can find that. And then we'll have a happy birthday for celebration point number 14. And so do pray with us. And this year still, our goal is $1 million, and all of it is towards missions, driving to reach more people for the glory of God. So we always choose a theme. And the theme for our Miracle Missions offering 2019 is this: beyond blessed. Everybody say, beyond blessed. I love that theme, and that theme has been inspired by a book that was written by a pastor called Robert Morris from Gateway Church. He actually has written two books which relate to giving and the whole idea of how we must view biblical giving. One of them is Living the Blessed Life, and we used some of that material and taught a few years ago, and he's written another book called Beyond Blessed, and this is what caused him to write that book. He saw people and they were honoring God, they were returning their tithes, and they were being blessed, but they began to see and ask himself, is this all? Is this all? And he also realized that some people, when they were blessed, ended up making a mess. The blessing ended up becoming a burden. And some of you know that some people get blessed and all of a sudden they walk away from God. And so he began to think, God, what is it? And so God inspired him to write this next book, Beyond Blessed, and we are going to pick some of our teachings from what he has written in this book, and a great, great teachings. Because listen, my friends, God doesn't just want you blessed, he wants you to live beyond blessed. Here's what Ephesians 3:20 says, which is going to be our theme scripture. It says, now to him who, God, who is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly more than all that we dare ask or think. That sounds like a God who just doesn't want to bless you. He wants to exceed your dream. Now, all of us have dreams. We even have, if I asked you, what would your life look like if you said, now I am blessed? We all have a certain definition. God wants to go beyond that. He wants to do way more. And this is in the Amplified Version. So it says, to do super abundantly more than all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, our greatest hopes or even dreams. And he does it according to his power that is at work within us. Listen, to live a life that is beyond blessed, you can never credit your blessing to human beings. A life that's beyond blessed is one that has been blessed by God. Undeniably blessed by God. That's the beyond blessed kind of life. According to his power that is at work within us. And then it says, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. And all God's people said, the purpose for why God blesses you is not so that you start to show off the cars that he's given to you. The purpose for the blessing is to point to the one who blesses. The glory goes to him. When we give a miracle offering as Watoto Church, big as it is, it's not about saying, oh, look at Watoto Church. Oh, they are rich people. They are blessed people. The people may say that. But the purpose is to glorify our God by expanding his kingdom. So it's beyond the money. It's about bringing glory to God. It's about expanding the kingdom of God. It's about reaching the lost. Beyond blessed. Now, if you want to live a beyond blessed life, and I know all of us would like to live a beyond blessed life, there are principles in the Word of God that we are going to begin unpacking in the next number of weeks. Today, I just want to unpack the first one as we launch, and that is the principle of ownership. Everybody say ownership. Ownership is such an embedded thing in us as human beings. We like to own things. When I was a little boy, we used to make wire cars. Some of you may not know, but we were very creative. We would make wire cars and use rubber band to tie them, and it was amazing. And we used to drive our wire cars, and even we would put gears. Some of you remember those. And the whole point was, as I drive this wire car, one day I will own my real car. Boys and their toys. I saw, man, toys are becoming phenomenal. I saw a toy car. I think this was not for, it shouldn't be even called a toy car. This thing is quite huge. It even uses fuel. It uses fuel. So I think they are beginning to make toys for 30-year-olds so that we start to drive some of that stuff. But I would drive that wire car. In my heart, I would keep saying, one day I will own my car as a little boy. And I remember when I drove the first car that I almost owned, okay? And it was one of the pastors who saw me using a taxi. He said, no, I have a car here. It's not in very good shape, but you drive until God blesses you with yours. In a way, he gave me temporary ownership. And I can never forget driving out of the parking lot, going home for the very first time with a car that could easily become mine. Anybody knows what that ownership feeling is like? There's just that thing in us. We like to own stuff. And then the world keeps that feeling and even begins to determine your worth based on what you own. What's your net worth? They are not asking you to come and say, my wealth is in the cross. They are asking, how many pieces of property do you have? It's about what stuff you have. And so then they ask them, declare your wealth. Don't bring your Bible. They're asking, what's in your bank? What is it? That's what they are asking for. So the world also drives this ownership thing, and we always seek to own and own and own stuff. But what does the Bible say about ownership? If you want to live beyond blessed, you gotta settle the issue of ownership in your heart. And there are two questions that I want to answer today. And the first one is this. Who owns you? Whose am I? Whose am I? To whom do you belong? Who owns you, my friend? That's a very important question. Paul, talking to the church in Corinth, who thought that they owned their lives and so thought that whatever they wanted to do with their lives, they could do, and began to use their bodies in the wrong way, with, say, getting involved in sexual immorality and indulging in all kinds of things, in alcohol, and they were getting drunk and all that stuff, and saying, well, my body is my body and I do what I want to do with it. And Paul speaks to them and he reminds them about this key principle in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20. This is what he says. Do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit? And Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God. And then he unpacks a clear thing about ownership. He says, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. If you are born again today here, realize this. You are not your own. You were bought by the price of the precious blood of Jesus. You belong to God. You are God's prized possession. So whose are you? Now, if you are not born again, you have another owner. And today, I want to challenge you. Do not go back to the... Tell that owner today, by giving your life to Jesus, you tell that owner today, my friend, I have realized you've owned me the past years. You are such an evil owner, Satan. Today I make a decision to give my heart to Jesus. I belong to God. Now please realize, the moment you know that you belong to God, it changes the way you live. Changes the way you live. When you think you own yourself, that's when you live life trying to scramble for everything and keep everything to yourself. You try to make decisions thinking, oh, I'm trying to advance my cause, my goal, my all of these things here. And then even begin to discover that actually there are things that are beyond your control. The issue of ownership is important. If you want to live beyond blessed, you got to settle it. Jesus once advised, and he said this in Luke 17:33. He said, whoever seeks to save his life will lose it. When you think you own yourself, you're always trying to save your life. You're always trying to do things to sustain you. Jesus says, if you seek to save your life, you will lose it. But whoever loses and surrenders his life will preserve it. In other words, whoever says, God, I surrender ownership of my life, I give it to you. Gain it. Because why? You place your life in the hands of the Almighty God, who is the giver and the author of life. So whose are you? You have to answer that question. When you know you belong to a God who loves you unconditionally, a God who is all-knowing, it frees you to trust Him more rather than trust yourself. Because you know how weak you are. The second question is this. So the first is, whose are you? Who do you belong to? To whom do you belong? Second is this, very important. Who owns what you have? Who owns the stuff that you have? Many of us would bring our car log book and say, read the name. Bring a land title. You're talking about this land? Read. Whose name is on that? And some of you have names we've never heard of, but they're on the title. Because you want to be clear. Who owns what you have? Say, I have the owner's copy. This is my thing. That's a very important question as well. Who owns what you have? One time a rich young man, a leader, a ruler, came to Jesus. Said to Jesus, Jesus, what must I do to gain eternal life? And said, Jesus, you're a good man. Jesus says, don't refer to me as good. But Jesus said to him, do the things that are written in the law, you know. Do not commit adultery and do not steal and honor your father and mother. The young man said to Jesus, that Jesus, I've done all that stuff. Is that all that is needed? Jesus said, there's one more thing you need to do. Sell everything you have and then give it to the poor and you'll store up treasure for yourself in heaven. Then come, follow me. The man's face changed. The Bible says he became sad. And by the way, that is not just many years ago. This continues to happen even today. Pastor Brian comes here. He says it's time for us to give. People's faces change. They just change. They become sad. And I'm not talking about the ones who are here. I'm talking about the ones who are going to maybe come for the next service. Not you. People's faces change. Because all of a sudden you ask, this is my money. What do you want with my money? Because they own it. And that young man thought like that. The Bible says he went away sad. He went away sad. Because he had never settled the ownership issue. In his mind, whatever possessions he had were his. Let me help you understand who owns what you have. Psalm 24 verse 1 says this, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Who owns what you have? God. God owns it. Psalm 50 verses 10 to 12 says this, for every animal of the forest is mine. Listen, lions do not belong to Uganda Wildlife Authority. Every animal in the forest is God's. And the cattle on 1,000 hills. Sometimes when people are showing off their wealth and their wealth, they say, look at my cattle. God says it belongs to him. Not just the cattle, the hills belong to him. Everything belongs to him. And then verse 11 says, I know every bird in the mountains. And even the insects in the fields are mine. Every cockroach in your house. doesn't belong to you. You don't see a cockroach and say, there goes a Rotolonio cockroach. And some of you fumigated recently. God is saying everything belongs to Him. If I were hungry, if there's a chance, this is so funny. God is saying, if we're hungry, it's just for us. God can never be hungry. I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all that is in it. Come on. So who owns what you have? It is God. He has simply entrusted it into your hands. So what does that mean for us? When we settle the matter of ownership, we begin to set ourselves up to live a life beyond blessed. We know that we are not our own, we belong to God. We know that everything we have has come from God. Yes, you worked hard with your own hands, but it is God who blesses the works of your hands. Yes, you have a successful business. It is God who gave you the ideas and put favor on you to get those clients. It's God who gives you health. He's the one who gave you the very breath. He's the one who gave you the eyes that you use to see opportunities. Belongs to God. I had someone once say, God is so good, He has never charged you rent for the eyes He's given to you. Everything we have is from God and it belongs to Him. We belong to Him. Whatever we have has come from Him. What does that mean? Number one, you are a steward and not an owner. The moment you settle the matter of ownership, you begin to realize that you are simply a steward. And a steward is a manager of someone else's business or property. So we are stewards of our time, we are stewards of our talents, we are stewards of the treasure that God blesses us with. And so when you recognize that it all belongs to God, and recognize that your life belongs to Him, it sets you free to live beyond blessed. Because you no longer need to worry. No human being can determine your life. Your owner, God, is the one who can determine and sustain your life. When you know that the stuff that is given to you to steward is from Him, you don't need to worry very much. Oh, people are going to steal this. People are going to take this. People are going to do this. You remember who gave it to you. He can keep it for you. But also you need to remember that if He gave it to you, He can ask for it. And when He asks for it, you don't need to be worried. Everything belongs to Him. We are stewards, and next week we're going to talk more about stewardship, so I won't go into it very much. That thought that God owns me and everything I have has come from God, He owns it and I'm simply a steward, it sets you free. Totally free. Because many times we carry responsibilities which we shouldn't. We do. Think about it this way. A homeowner and a tenant. How that works. When you're a tenant, you recognize you don't own the place. And what you do is make sure you take care of the space that you have been given. But should a storm come down and the boundary wall falls down, the tenant doesn't fix the boundary wall. It's the homeowner who does that. The day a heavy wind comes and the roof is blown off, as a tenant, what do you do? Simply call the owner and say there was a heavy wind and the roof has gone off. The homeowner takes that responsibility. When you know God owns you and everything that you have, you don't need to worry a bit. He will take care of everything. He's more than able. And that releases you to live a beyond blessed life. It is a very narrow-minded person who thinks blessings are just in material things. To be beyond blessed is to recognize who the true owner is. We are stewards. And secondly, if we recognize that we are stewards, then we must learn to put the owner first. Put God first. That's the final thought I want to leave with you. If you're going to live beyond blessed, settle the matter of ownership. Once you've settled it, then begin to recognize we are simply stewards. Everything we have, God has entrusted to us, and we need to steward it well. But the other thing, in our process of stewardship, we need to always put God first. Whatever you seek out first becomes what you worship. Whatever gives you a sense of identity becomes what you worship and becomes your God. And I just want to narrow it and talk about money a little bit, because Jesus talked about money quite a bit. And even as we get ready for our miracle offering, the moment you start to put money first, God can never compete with money. In fact, Jesus once taught, you cannot have two masters. You're going to serve one and despise the other. Putting God first means you recognize even the money you have is a blessing from God. Don't get attached to money, because money is not a great master. And money fades. Today you can have $1 million, but the moment you go out and buy coffee, it starts to reduce. And so if you worship a God who can reduce, you're in trouble. Almost every nation on earth, however prosperous they are, Uganda, we are called a hippie nation, highly indebted, poor country. But we have a vision that we are going to become middle class income. But I wanted to challenge anyone from National Planning Authority, that's not a very good vision. Don't aim for middle class. Let's become serious God class. Okay? Let's go bigger than that. Okay? But no nation that is called first world is thriving without debt. They all have debt. They carry debt. So if you look at money as your God, it can reduce. Better look at the source of all wealth, who owns silver and everything. Put him first. How do we practically do that? In our tithes and in our offerings. In Exodus, God challenged the children of Israel. He said, the first of the first fruits of your land you shall bring into the house of the Lord your God. Proverbs 3, 9 and 10 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase, so that your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with new wine. Many people like the last part of that verse. I want my barns to be filled with plenty. I want my vats to overflow with new wine. But they don't like the first part, because they struggle with ownership. Malachi 3:10 says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, and see if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such a blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. God just doesn't want you blessed. He wants you beyond blessed. But you need to recognize him as the owner. You need to recognize that whatever he has blessed you with, you are simply a steward. And so when you return the Lord's tithe, a tenth of all your increase to him, you're saying, God, you are the one who has blessed me. And when I return this, I'm saying, thank you, God, but I also want this work of yours to continue. When you give an offering, that's what you are doing. So some people say, but We just read, God said, if I am hungry, I will never ask you. But now when it comes to money, he's asking us to give a tenth. And yet everything belongs to him. Does God need anything? Sometimes we ask those things. Isn't he just greedy? Listen, God is not really after your money because it's not even yours. He's after your heart. Tithing is not about the amount and the money. It's really about your heart. Who is first in your life? When we come to give our miracle offering, we set a monetary goal. But the thing God is more interested in is the heart. Is the heart. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So today, I'm really coming from that principle of ownership for you to recognize you and I are not our own. We belong to God. Everything we have is a gift from God. Everything you will ever need and have in the future is going to come from the one who is the giver of all, God Almighty. You want to live beyond blessed? Don't live for the blessing. Live for the one who blesses. I want to end with Matthew chapter 6. Jesus, teaching about this subject, recognizes that as human beings, we struggle with ownership. Because that issue of ownership now begins to put worry. Say, if God owns me and everything I have belongs to God, then what do I have? And sometimes we begin to be worried. We carry a sense of worry. Jesus begins to address it this way. And maybe some of you are in that place, struggling with maybe giving and being generous, struggling with the whole matter of your life. You are so worried about your life every day. You think, man, is my life going to go? Is this going to happen? And we just keep all those worries. And even if some of us may be materially blessed, but we live with fears of my life may go. And we're just worried about life and worried about things. So Jesus addresses and he teaches his disciples and those who are listening. Matthew chapter 6 from verses 25, powerful portion of scripture to 34. He says, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. What you will eat or drink, the things around you, or about your body. What you will wear, don't worry about that stuff. And then he says, isn't life more than food? And the body more than clothes? And then he begins illustrative preaching. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. He says, look at the birds in the air. The birds don't have a strategic plan and a budget. They don't. But they eat every day. They fly every day. They have a better view of the earth than us. A bird doesn't need a visa to go to the neighboring country. It just flies through. For us, we have to queue up, get a visa, get all, and go. A bird doesn't need to buy land to build a home. In fact, we plant the trees and then the bird puts the nest there. It doesn't worry about sewage and all of that. Jesus says, look at the birds in the air. They have none of that stuff, yet God looks after them because he owns them. Are you not much more valuable than they are? Come on, friends. You are much more valuable than the birds of the air. And then he continues and says, can any one of you by worrying add a single hour to your life? So why do you worry about stuff, the clothes? Look at the flowers of the field. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. I am yet to attend a wedding where this scripture isn't true. The bride and groom may buy the most expensive suits and gowns in the world, have the most expensive shoes, but that wedding will still have flowers, because nothing can buy the flavor and the color flowers bring to a function. God says, those flowers, I'm the one who gives them their color. And so he says, if that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? You of little faith. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the pagans, those that do not know God as an owner, run after all these things. But your heavenly Father, the one who owns you and owns everything, he knows that you need them. So this is what you need to do. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You will live a life beyond blessed. Come on, give Jesus a big hand clap.
Thank you for listening. I hope this sets you up to choose well and excel in life. Tune in next time as we continue to explore the scripture and learn how we can overcome fear with our faith. For comments and feedback or counseling, write to connect@watotochurch.com.